The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Come on, fellas, we can jerk that sucker off in just a second.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hey, Vern. It's 4 a.m. That means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
Brian.
Rob, know what I mean.
Joe.
All right. And as you may have guessed, we're doing Ernest Goes to Camp from 1987. It had no tagline that I could find.
Hey, Vern, know what I mean.
Probably.
Vern wasn't even in it.
KKK.
So we're just launching right into that.
I just pictured just right on the bottom of the poster, it just says, sorry.
I think at the bottom it just says, whatever.
Coming to a theater ? Near you.
Coming to some kind of multimedia near you. Okay, so this was directed by John R. Cherry III.
What was it?
Archery?
Yes, John Archery. No, his other credits will surprise you all, as they are...
All movies you saw, no one else?
All movies with Ernest in the name?
Ernest in the Army, Ernest Goes to Africa, Slam Dunk Ernest, Ernest Rides Again, Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Saves Christmas, Ernest Film Festival, and Dr. Otto in the Riddler, in the Riddle of the Gloom Bean, which, by the way, is an Ernest movie.
Is it really?
Yes.
What about Ernest Kills a Hooker?
That, I think, was TMZ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... He's kind of been on a track.
He has he knows what he likes, and
he made a career making movies. Yeah. I mean, like, that was his goal, and he accomplished it.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, though, that's not all the Ernest movies. Let's not forget that.
I didn't even know half of those existed.
Yeah. And I found a lot more I didn't know existed.
In fact, I would say you named two that I recognized.
Not surprised.
And I only recognize them because I think they're on our list.
I believe so.
I put them there too.
Anyway, so what's your personal history with this, Brian?
As a kid, I watched all these Ernest movies. Not all the ones listed because some I never heard of before, but like I watched them as a kid and I always enjoyed the slapstick humor that was in it and it made me laugh. And like I was like, who's he talking to? And are they ever going to show his face? And they never did because it was a made up character. But like as a kid, I was always, yeah. So I liked this when I was a kid.
Rob.
I don't...
Don't judge me.
That's way too late for that, Brian. It's way too late. I don't think I've seen this before. I'm pretty sure the only Ernest movie I've seen is Ernest Goes to Jail. And, yeah.
Is he a shiver guy in that movie?
Does he shoot a guy?
Shiver guy?
Shiver guy? Probably. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
I've not seen it since I was, 9 years old.
I don't believe Ernest shivs anyone. He might get shivved, or his evil alter ego guy might.
I think that scene...
Or doppelganger, I guess.
That scene with the Punisher in jail in Daredevil Season 2,
uh-huh.
I think that was an exact copy of a scene from
Ernest.
Oh,
yeah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but is Ernest getting shivved?
He was able to get off, though, on account of insanity. He had schizophrenic. He had an alternate... voice in his head for Vern.
Brought out that lady with the neck brace.
Yeah.
He was also able to get off on the help of his friends. We'll get into that shortly. So what's your history with this, Joe?
I have never seen in Ernest anything.
Really?
God. At all.
Not even the show? Ever.
Nope.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is kind of stuff I avoided even when I was a kid.
But
that
now,
cut into time that could be spent with Chuck Norris or Arnold Schwarzenegger blowing something up.
But I watched those too.
Mm-hmm.
But now he spent the early morning hours of today surfing eBay to try and find that talking Ernest doll.
Know what I mean? Yeah, I'd seen this before. I'm sure I've seen bits of it here and there throughout the years, but I don't think I've seen this since maybe the early 90s is the last time I watched it. It's been a long time. That's for damn sure.
Oh, God.
Good. Like a Twinkie should, right?
Oh, God.
Brian shit his pants.
About to eat a Twinkie. But it's a seasonal Twinkie. It's pumpkin pie spice Twinkie.
Wait, and you left that for me to eat?
Oh, yeah.
You fucker.
Oh, yeah.
And how is it?
I literally can't even right now.
I knew something was wrong.
Is it a good can't even?
I just can't even right now. I'm just odd. I can't even.
Should we have done the Bratz movie?
Probably. It's all right. It's all right. I'm not a big pumpkin spice person, so it's interesting. But it's not overly pumpkin, so.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere like really intense, this is not overly pumpkin, so. I mean, I'm going to finish it, so.
When Tony came in with his yoga pants on, I was like, something's got to be up.
He did.
And he brought these out. He said, man.
Shut up. Uggs are comfortable.
You just need them apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
Fur. Okay. So.
You got low.
Speaking of bad singing, let's get into the history of this movie. Jim Varney sung a song in this movie.
He did.
Which apparently he got done on the first take, and it made everybody cry.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Everybody on set.
Do you think
it was touching? Like, it was a touching moment.
Yeah. It was a Muppet song, but yeah, it was touching.
It was sweet.
That's why it was sweet.
I will fully admit, when trying to look some stuff up, when I saw that there was like a memorial video for him set to this song.
Oh no!
Yeah, oh, I was just like, no. Oh, it got me a little.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
The memorial video ended with a bunch of kids breaking into a room saying, come on, guys, we can jerk this sucker off in no time.
Moving on from that, speaking of Muppets, Jim Henson was in this movie.
Really?
What?
Yes. Apparently, one of those miners somewhere in there was the late, great Jim Henson. I don't know why. It just was.
I don't have words.
He was like, I want to be on the camera.
For once.
You know what? Honestly, knowing, I mean, I didn't know Jim Henson, but knowing of Jim Henson, he was probably like, yeah, you know, I'll just clean up or whatever you need.
Did he write the song that he sang?
No, I checked the credits. It was that damn Keister wrote that song.
Damn Keister?
Yeah, what's his name? Keister. The guy's last name was Keister. He wrote all the songs for the movie.
Okay.
Except for the one turtle song.
Maybe Jim Henson made the turtle.
The only one with the musical Keister.
I hope you crapped your pants.
Smells like I did.
Yeah, he's swearing. Oops, I crapped my pants.
So I kind of forgot to mention this, but I guess I kind of thought it goes without saying. But just in case, Ernest P. World wasn't, of course, made for commercials, as were his cohorts, the fat guy and the
does that go without
dumber
saying?
Guy. Well, I kind of assume anyone that knows who Ernest is knows this, but you know, we might have listeners that don't know who the hell Ernest is, so yeah, I guess not. He did a bunch of commercials, which we'll get into more of that a little later.
For what?
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
I forgot what the most famous one was.
You know, actually, I think I remember seeing him in commercials for stuff.
I know he did, I think, Mellow Yellow at one time.
Really? Not Coke?
No.
Yeah, right.
But back in
the 80s when this was... Mellow Yellow, I think, was owned by Coke. Mm. So Coke machines had Mellow Yellow in it. At least down south they did.
All right.
I believe Coke still owns Mellow Yellow.
Yeah, I think down south they still own.
Also, Azadu?
Alzado?
Azadu? Alzado?
Yeah.
Is that? Okay. Apparently in their fight scene, he actually broke Jim Varney's nose.
Wow.
I believe it because he was bleeding for real out his nose at one point. It looked like it was for real.
He was a football player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he actually cracked him right in the face, and I guess like a trooper, he just kept going. Good for him.
Wow. Jim Varney kept going?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
the other guy obviously did, but...
I don't know. Do you know anything about Jim Varney's background? I mean, aside from the fact that he was in commercials, like, what did he do before that?
I believe he did some comedy stuff. Like, he was part of a comedy troupe. I didn't have the time to do a whole lot of research.
Are you making it up?
No, I believe that. I don't remember. That's not something I looked up recently. That's something I vaguely remember from hearing about him long ago.
Snapple cap.
But yeah.
So someone who knows what Jim Varney did before Ernest stuff.
Actually, you know what? It's just about September by the time this episode airs.
Yeah. So. No, before you say anything else. I remind you, we're doing a camp movie. It's the last day of summer, so Rich stays on break.
Rich is still on vacation. Yeah.
Next week, you're back to work.
Technicality.
Yeah. Next week, you are back to work.
You enjoy that ice cream, sir.
Which you should have never stopped eating.
No. Yeah. All I can say, like, looking, like, watching scenes in the movie, Ernest, he's got some working man's hands. Like, he's got some farmer hands.
Got some working man arms, too.
Yeah, like, he's a stringy farmer guy.
Been jerking off turtles for a while.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So I'm just saying, like, I don't
know. Not his first rodeo. You
know, I don't know why I was going into that. I totally lost track of my train of thought there, but it's fine.
What else is new? So, anyone want to guess at how much it cost to make this movie?
Oh, God. I'm going to guess under $1 million.
Yeah, I'm thinking 750,000.
I'm going to guess, some action figures, some Happy Meals, a restraining order, and $50,000.
All right, since Brian's faking it, I'm going to give a real number. I'm going to say 200,000. That's my guess.
You're not going to give me a...
All right, I'll say...
A guesstimate of how much all those things cost, Brian?
$500,000.
So we got like a $250,000, $500,000, and $750,000.
Yeah.
$3 million.
$3 million?
Because $3 million dollars to make this.
All right. Wow. You know,
well, they blew up a front loader.
Did they really, though?
No, they didn't.
That was just flames and no oomph.
No, but they had to rent a front loader.
How much of that was Jim Henson's money, you think?
I doubt Jim Henson asked for a lot to be a background guy.
Oh, I'm not saying that he cost that much.
Oh,
I'm
how much did he put
gave
in?
Them money.
Probably a lot.
He's like, yeah, I mean, you're making a movie. That's great. How much do you need?
I believe it. It's possible. Oh,
I don't need to see a doctor. What, too soon? Come on.
Not cool. All right, so I want to guess at how much money this movie made.
Yo, they made so many Ernest movies. I'm guessing it made like $20 million.
I'm going to say 10. 10 million.
I'm going to say 5.
Brian wins. It was $23 million.
Oh, all right, good deal. That's good for them.
Investment. Yeah.
I mean, this was not in any way, shape, or form a movie, but good for them.
All right. So that money must have gone to some of the cast here. Who is in that cast, Joe?
No one. Absolutely no one.
Okay. It also went to a lot of cocaine.
Probably. Yeah. Jim Varney is Ernest P. Worrell. Victoria Rossino as Nurse St. Cloud. John Vernon as Sherman Crater. Iron Eyes Cody as Old Indian Chief St. Cloud. And Lyle Alzado as Bronx Stinson.
You don't even get a first name. You're Old Indian Chief. Like, you know, yeah. First fucking name. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he didn't have a first name.
He probably forgot.
He probably did forget.
Might and be. It was a bunch of kids in the movie, too.
There were a bunch of kids.
Or, like, somebody tricked him into signing a paper that said his name is Old Indian now.
Yeah, I didn't include them because I wasn't sure how much we want to get into it. But we mentioned Mose, the little boy, the youngest, the runt of the group, was
Mose? Is that what you said?
Isn't that?
It's Moose.
Moose, I'm sorry.
Mose is the cousin from The Office. He's like Dwight's cousin. Right.
Whatever. Close enough.
It'd be funny if he was running around this movie.
But I believe he was in Moonwalker.
Okay.
With Michael Jackson and a bunch of other things. The one kid you thought grew up to be the guy from Ant-Man, who was always wearing shades. It was funny because I was calling him Shades in my head because he was in Luke Cage. I'm not a big part, I don't think.
Oh, he's the guy that ate the candy bars, right?
Yeah.
Was it hair or no?
No. You're thinking of the fat kid or
no? Thinking of the Latino kid.
Oh yeah.
It was Luke Cage.
Yeah, what was his part in Luke Cage? Do you remember?
Am I crazy? Am I thinking of? Am I attributing a different?
Probably.
All right. I got no idea what's going on.
There was
right
a
now.
Character that was a mob boss.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And he had like a Snickers bar in his.
He
pocket
was throwing them on the floor of.
Oh, you know that could have been him.
And he owned the boxing ring.
In that ate candy bars, not in this. Okay.
Yeah.
That could have been him.
Actually. Oh, that might have been him. But also keeping it in the comic universe, one of the kids, I know which one, but I couldn't tell you like how to point him out because there were like two of those kids that looked almost the same, but he was a little thinner. But anyway, he's the voice of Robin in Teen Titans.
Hey. Oh, that's who it was. Yeah. Okay. He was a kid who stole stuff.
Yeah.
He was wearing
the jean jacket.
Yeah.
Well, one of the two wearing jean jacket.
I thought it was
the one that didn't wear the midriff shirt, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
I thought he was the dude that grew up to be the guy in the shitty parole officer in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
But no, it's the voice of Robin. He looked familiar. That's right.
All right. So anyway, what were they up to? Let's get into
this. Not a whole fucking lot. This movie is like
really nothing.
Like, it starts out with some Native American ritual about the guy throwing knives and like
an axe
and an arrow at a person to be brave or some shit like that.
It's constantly like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know it's Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess it's supposed to be like, if you show true courage, you get to become a true warrior in the tribe or whatever. One of those rites of passage kind of shit.
Or how you know the old warrior can't aim anymore and he's kicked out.
No, you stand still long enough, he can no longer see you.
I wonder how many people died from that shit. Like,
probably a lot. Yeah. So right away, I'm angry. Because this scene gave me false pretenses. It set this up as though it were an actual movie. Like, there was lighting in this scene. There was, I'm gonna give air quotes here. There was acting in this scene. Mm. There was structure to the scene. There was a point to the scene. And then we get this Ernest movie.
Then we get a bunch of commercials strung together.
Commercials for what?
Doesn't matter.
A camp where you send your kids to be...
To die?
To be shat upon by the rest of the campers.
Yeah, really.
You want them to make sure they believe all the same things you believe. So you send them to a camp to learn how to...
What does that mean?
What are those beliefs,
what
Brian?
What does that mean?
Where everyone must look the same.
Yeah, seriously.
Is there a dress code at this camp, Brian?
No, but they all wore white.
Yeah, on their faces and bodies.
And there were a lot of K's in the camp.
Poor Ernest, he didn't know what was actually going on there.
Proud to be minority free since 1956.
Not even any Native American kids. Like, that's got to be a kick in the pants.
This was just straight up racist camp.
It really was.
It was the Aryan Brotherhood.
They're like, we got some second chance kids, you know, come from you know, bad areas.
Oh, fuck them.
They should stay where they are. They don't need to be here.
Of course they're criminals.
They're going to come mess up our space. We don't want them here.
Yeah.
And then they show up and it's like the only minorities in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Two. Well, to the point where one of those kids, I'm pretty sure, was just Italian, but was still considered a minority. Like,
he was too Italian.
Yeah, your skin's just a little too off colored, my friend.
I don't see enough Anglo or Saxon.
As soon as they crossed the border, one of the guards was like, "Sir, we have a beige and a brown on approach."
But they treat these kids like they were shit. I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
To be fair, they treated everyone like they were shit. Ernest is trying to greet them, and they shove his hands in the window, or they close the window on his hands, rather.
This camp does.
Ernest and these second chance kids. That's definitely what they started calling them in the movie, second chance kids, from some correctional institution for children.
Yeah.
But they were the only kids in the movie, only people in the entire movie who didn't dress the same.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone else wore the same white.
That's how it works in cults, Brian.
Pants. It was a camp uniform. I'll give them that much.
But like,
it was white, though.
That's how they stood out as being different, because they looked different.
Yes.
And they picked on Ernest because he didn't wear the same shit they wore, so Chris got picked on and stuff. He was a little slow, but he had a good heart.
He wasn't allowed to, I think, because he wasn't a counselor yet. He was just a janitor?
He was.
He was like,
when he did, he didn't dress that way.
Once again, if you do the honors of flicking the fan on. Sure. I have a feeling Brian's going to get himself worked up a little bit this time around.
No.
I can see it coming down.
He's already got a good coat.
I'm a sweaty bastard.
He's got a sheen.
Right. But yeah, so like this camp, they got like there's a lake and there's like games to play and like sports and stuff and like, I don't know.
A lot of exercising.
It's like Fat Camp 2 for heavyweights.
Well, yeah, like when we're coming in on the whole camp, we see there's some kids off in the background that are just like playing frisbee and stuff like that. And then there's just like a whole group that are being forced to do like burpees and shit. Like, what the hell's that?
Forced to do what?
Burpees.
Burpees.
That's the exercise where you, from standing up straight, you like bend down, like you basically like fall down, kick your legs up behind you, bring them back to your chest, and then stand up again.
Oh.
But you got like in a row a bunch of times.
Wasn't that also referred to as a squat thrust?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure which one is more suggestive of a name.
I think burpees, because when you do them enough times, you want to vomit. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, maybe I should do some.
Anyways, maybe. Okay. So this movie is trying way too damn hard. It's like Ernest is like, I'm on a sign on a ladder, jumping around. Of course, he falls off.
By the way, he is strong as fuck.
What's that?
Because he just like he somehow defies physics and lifts himself off the ground on this ladder for a moment.
Oh, right. Depending on how high the ladder is, you can do that.
I saw Dad do that at least.
Oh, I myself have made myself, you know, jump over, but like there's, because it's clearly, you know, it's more of a movie making thing, but someone was clearly lifting him.
Mm-hmm.
So he would just like straight like be off the ground for a second or two and then move
That's
over.
True, yeah, because he never it really jumps. Jump. He just floats.
Some magic shit going on there.
And he like he pulls up somewhere on a golf cart. Golf cart's possessed. It just drives away. And it's driving for the whole rest of the movie.
Oh, yep.
Is the spirit of the camp was in control of it.
I guess.
Jesus took the wheel.
The spirit of all those
people.
It
never let go.
But it came back for the climax of the movie. Yeah.
It was the spirit of all the people that went through that trial and didn't make it.
Well, either way, whatever's going on in that motor, they should check it out, because the fuel economy on that cart.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. That's for like a whole
thing. Drove for like a summer.
It's an arc reactor.
Yeah.
Down there, mm-hmm. I think.
All right. Yeah, and then like he's trying to like plunge a toilet. And he's just overacting like a motherfucker. And I'm like, can we tone this down a little bit?
Nope. Absolutely not.
Because little 7-year-old kids want to laugh at the stupidness of Ernest.
You mean little 7-year-old Brian?
And I laughed at the stupidness
of Ernest. That's what I had to keep telling myself.
I laughed
at the movie.
Because it was for little kids.
And this is what, like, that's what this, and again, I'm using the term movie, and I feel dirty saying it.
We get it.
I feel dirty saying it. That's what this is. Like, so way back in the day, back when they would have camps like this, there would be, you know, like, kids would go on weekends and stuff to the movie theater, and they would play these ridiculous, you know, like, freaking Howdy Doody and all this crap. That's what this is. This is like the Howdy Doody show, where it's just, like, ridiculous, over-the-top slapstick nonsense just to make children laugh and not bug their parents for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That is what this is.
Yeah.
And I was fully okay with that as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Worked on.
It's just kind of weird because, again, it's based on like a set of TV commercials, a character created for TV commercials,
right,
aimed at adult products, not like toys or anything. And personally, I always felt Ernest had a weirdly more kind of adult theme to it. It just, it had a weird grossness to it, and well, all that fisheye lens and like him as that old woman with the neck brace. It's just, I don't know. Just didn't strike me as right. Stop giving me that look. All right.
I mean,
so,
but anyway,
it's on the record books now.
I mean, it's a kid's movie here, regardless.
But so. Ernest's big dream is to become a camp counselor at this camp he's been working at for like
his
entire life.
He wants to teach the little kids about, you know, growing up,
hurting themselves.
Yeah, to hurt
what
themselves.
Not to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So he meets
like if Roger Rabbit was a counselor.
Mm-hmm. He meets the camp counselor, Nurse St. Cloud, or camp nurse, I should say, Nurse St. Cloud.
Mm.
She gives him some shots. Woo.
It's a big
deal. Afraid of shots.
Yeah.
Which,
like, most kids are afraid of shots.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, going back to what I was just talking about, his response to getting a shot, like, first he's telling him how he's not afraid because he's a manly man and whatnot.
Right.
And then once he gets pricked, he starts saying that, like, he took the Lindbergh baby and he's Mangala?
That's a whole, I don't know. I mean,
this is what I'm talking about. Like, yeah.
It's on the record book. I'm Mangala.
It's like if Roger Rabbit started making Joseph Stalin jokes or something. It's, I mean, like, it's weirdly out of place.
Maybe that's how he got his job at the camp.
From one camp to another.
Exactly.
I mean, they just didn't background check that camp on the resume.
You just drive into the entrance, there's just a pile of shoes. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, wow.
Jesus. All right. I would be more upset, but at one point they had these kids digging their own graves.
Yeah, that's true.
In a chain gang digging ditches. I'm not joking.
That's the thing. Like, how, I don't remember the sequence of any of these events. And they're not scenes, they're just events.
Yeah.
Things that happen. So, like, how are we even going to talk about this movie?
So, premise. Boom.
Yes, okay.
All right, so the kids from the other side of the track show up to this camp to hope to help them become better kids because no one thinks that they deserve a chance. So they show up.
Well, how do we know they're from the wrong side of the tracks?
Because they wear colors and not just an all
and
white.
Half shirts.
And half
they,
shirts.
They wear and are colors.
And are colors.
And also, the lady from the
detention center.
Detention center, yeah. She's like, these are the bad kids.
Yeah.
Oh, and also this little black boy. I don't know why he's here. Yeah. He didn't do nothing wrong.
It's like,
why is he there? Why is Moose there?
They need that little one to go, I believe in you, Ernest.
Because his name's Mustafa or Moose or whatever, Moose, whatever they call you.
It's Mustafa.
Like one of the counselors says to him. Yeah. when he didn't know how to swim.
Threw his ass in there anyway.
Just because his name sounds a little too much like a terrorist, they threw him in the detention center. The Patriot Act already in place.
As I was saying, kids on the side track show up. This uppity ass kids, these two kids, what the fuck were names? Shithead and Shithead Two.
Yeah.
Ken
and Barbie.
The ones who fucked with Ernest in the beginning. Pick a fight with them right off the jump. So these kids defend themselves and fight back, which good for them for fighting back.
One better on that, they start picking on Moose, the runt of the litter, by kicking him over, and then the others come to his aid. They're doing the right thing.
Yeah, like, pick on someone your own size, and they all start fighting, whatever.
It's very easy to see the colors in the sea of white.
Yeah.
So they get blamed.
Yeah, they get blamed for it. So they get put outside digging a ditch in a chain gang with an overseer camp counselor talking about This is how the laws of the land, boy, and all kind of stuff. Like, I'm not joking. This legit happens in the movie.
Now, I'm not trying to be fair. I'm not going to defend this. But I will say, I think this scene was a reference to Cool Hand Luke, just very poorly done. If it was, they should have a scene where a hot girl is washing a car across the street, rubbing her wet titties all over the
but
car
instead window. We get those kids start the fight, come by looking like they just finished fucking each other.
You know what? Well, why don't we just get everything together and have those two washing a car and a tight white t-shirt?
You could watch that.
I mean,
I will not.
I'm not saying
I want to see it, but
you just want to jerk off to.
No, it gets your point across. It gets the Cool Hand Luke thing. Plus, we see these two in love. You could have done it. That's all I'm saying. Anyway,
I don't think those
what was next
two...
after that. It was
All right, so let's see. They meet Stennis, their overseer.
Right.
He tries to drown Moose.
Yeah.
Legit.
See, yeah.
He's like, you can't swim. You're gonna learn the hard way. Throw him in the fucking water.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ernest has to save his ass.
Oh, and you get these two chefs.
Oh, the chef scene.
Trying to make eggs erroneous.
Bunsen, Honeydew, and Beaker.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's about
right. God damn,
right.
Like, I don't think I laughed at one thing that these guys were responsible for.
No, I laughed at one point, and it's in the scene where he does the voice for the lobster, and he's like, oh, don't cook me, don't eat me. He goes, oh, I won't. Throws it in there anyway, but the way he does it, it's fucking funny.
I got a half chuckle out of the, backhanded tossing it behind him, yeah.
Oh, okay, so then... There's a part where they give Ernest something that's made from modeling clay, and he takes a bite out of it and then runs outside looking for somewhere to puke.
Mm-hmm.
Pukes behind a truck, and it looks like somebody throws puke in from off the side of the screen.
Yeah.
Like, what was the physics of that?
I don't know. Rob thought maybe he exploded, which is the best we got. Guess. Yeah.
Was that somebody else was just walking along and sympathy puked?
Maybe. Okay.
But it was like immediate, so they didn't even get to bend over. And it was like, blah!
It's entirely possible.
It was Vern.
All right. So, yeah. Now, fucking Stannis throws Mustafa in the lake. And so the other kids dump him into the lake.
Yeah, again, kind of defending the little kid that can't really fight back. They push this thing over and... what's his status?
Yeah, he's breaks injured somehow, yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow his leg breaks. But it's Ernest's big chance.
Mm-hmm. Now, did his legs break, or did he just get a cramp in his leg?
I don't know.
From falling in the water? Like, his I don't understand hurt. That at all. Yeah. He's just like, my leg, and then it cuts away.
Dude, never seen him again.
Nope.
And then we just cut to a giant explosion. Of after Ernest gets the job of Crater Industries strip mining his huge cliff. Then
more K's.
They're looking for a petricide, whatever that is.
They put K's all over this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like it,
yeah. I think you really go wrong with the fact that they do spell camp with a K. That's unnecessary. Just saying.
Yes.
Well, that gets the three K's in there.
I mean, well, yes. Camp Krusty was spelled okay, right?
Yes.
I mean, maybe that, but, maybe all these K's are in there because the guy Keister, his name was K.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't understand the logic of any of this.
At one point, it is owned by, it's Krieger?
Crater.
Crater. Oh, right, because they mine. Fuck.
Yep.
yep.
But at one point, he has property of the land, so it is Crater's Camp Kick-A-Kid. Make
kick
a
kid. Kick a kid.
Yeah.
Might as well be called.
It might as well be
for real. Might as well. All
right. So then there's like all these jokes that.
In quotation marks.
I know it was the 80s, but could you have tried a little bit harder? This might have been funny. So like Ernest is taking him on a hike. He's like, oh, look, some badgers. And I forget what he does, but he's supposedly getting mauled by badgers off screen.
He just goes, never do this to a bunch of badgers and, like, make some weird fucking noises.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you've got Ernest harassing badgers. You've got Jim Henson on set.
Yeah.
You cannot give me a puppet badger?
Yeah. I don't need a good one.
No. Well, I mean, granted, if it was Jim Henson, he'd probably be like, I can't make you a bad one, guys. I don't know how to do that.
Well,
and then I'd have nothing to complain about or laugh about, but...
That's... Actually, well, that is the weird era. It would be a great puppet, but it would just be like a cartoon animal, basically.
It was just like one of the extra badgers from Emmett Otter's Jug Band. Yep.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Cut out like the golf cart and like do like some Gods Must Be Crazy style, like the badgers just chasing him for the whole movie.
Like, the movie.
Shows up every once in a while, like in Better Off Dead, like the kid with the $2. You know, like every once in a while, he's just jumped by a badger.
Which, and then, by the way,
it's just a bumble ball, like one of those little.
Yeah, you want to have a better ending instead of the terribleness we get from these turtles. We get there, but lure these badgers. Running from. He lures them onto this catapult, and they go flying.
Yeah, and by the end, like he somehow gained an affinity with the badgers.
Oh, that would be pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, that
would.
Yeah,
and it's not freaking hard to think.
We
of
should
this
be writers,
stuff.
Like.
Well, or at the very least, there should have been writers working on this film. All
right. So now their solution, because he's been mauled.
I guess.
They mummify him in gauze and then tie
that's
that.
The first aid.
Yeah, tie that to the bus. Drive that off.
We should have killed him.
Because the kid's driving the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And you
at least
just
nobody got hurt.
Ernest spins around a few times, and that's it. I think he does a pratfall afterwards.
Yeah. He does, yes.
Could you at least just take in a dummy, wrapped it in gauze, tied that to a bus, and drove off and let that
tumble right,
around?
Right, seriously.
Like, I don't need these to be good effects.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, all this reeks of, like, this was one of the commercial ideas he had, and just somehow... Like, put into a movie. Like, we don't need a badger here. We don't have a badger here. So let's just pretend like we're getting mauled by one, by something off screen. Like, the hell's the point?
So Yeah, this is when the crater lawyer goes and tries to buy the camp from old Indian chief St. Cloud.
Yeah, it's clearly not his first time.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, he doesn't want to sell it. He's like, how could you own a tree?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you don't understand like, how real estate works, I guess.
First of all, try and tell that to anyone on Christmas.
Yeah.
But second of all, this is where I was just like, well, the movie's done then. Because, like, if you can't own a tree, then you don't own the land. I could just dig.
Yeah.
Done. Why is this a problem?
Yeah.
America.
That's how we work.
Right, everybody.
Yeah. And, I mean, if that petricide was really as valuable as the thought, they would be like, yo, I'll get you more land over here.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was his ancestral, like...
Yeah, the land is important. Ground.
Yeah, so yeah, there. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all already took all my shit. This is all I got left. You can't have this too. Fuck you.
He already said, like, he and his granddaughter are the only two surviving members of their tribe, which is like, all right, I guess.
Things got bad for a while on the reservation. But the
chief's son didn't believe enough in whatever. Yeah, exactly. Got an axe to the head.
His chief is trying to explain. He's like, dude, you think you own whatever land you land on. Got to paint with all the colors of the wind, bro.
Moving on.
I don't know. I was totally just going to let him hang himself with that one.
I will say, I was going to, please. These people only check into this podcast to hear me reference Disney songs.
Oh,
that
was, okay. I'm like, is that Pocahontas?
Yeah, it's Pocahontas. Okay,
I'm not really into all the...
It's hard to tell because Rob clearly only knows like four lines from it.
I was struggling. That's more than me. So. I was struggling. Wasn't Vanessa Williams?
Yeah, so, I've seen it. I don't remember shit from any of this movie. Like, legit, I'm not that person to like remember song lyrics. And
it's okay. I will say this: Ernest was the only person in this entire movie to call them Native Americans and not Indians.
Also, he's the only person working at this camp owned by them that has taken the time to learn to speak with this chief.
Yeah,
in his. Sign language, whatever he's using. Kind of a sign language.
Yeah, they learned like a sign language.
Yeah.
He made signs at the chief, and the chief eventually figured out
what he wanted really to be. It's like, what is this? Ernest made up.
What is this idiot trying to say to me?
Well, surprisingly, the chief doesn't seem to have picked up any English throughout all this time.
He's picked it up. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not speaking the white man's language.
I'm not saying he needs to speak it, but, like, he gets duped real easy later.
I think that's on account of his age, not really his education.
So now...
Maybe.
We get the scene with the liver loafer launcher. Or liver loafer ranger. The food launching machine that the two chefs made.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Throw ingredients in the back, fire launch out the front. Guy's trying to catch it with a pan. It makes a mess. Yay.
Yeah, again, this is a Bunsen Honeydew sketch. It's kind of amusing, I guess. Especially if you're young. Yeah.
Fuck y'all.
Especially if you're younger. That's, fine. But, like,
all right. So
it's so out of place. And just, like, why is this happening?
This would be funny if that was the Swedish chef.
Yeah.
Copyright. Couldn't do it.
I know.
Or like Jim Cameron, he was like, no.
You know what?
That's really why he was there.
Let's be honest.
I'm sticking around, guys.
Would they allow a Swedish chef in their camp in the first place?
I don't know. Swedes are white enough.
Yeah, they supplied them with metal.
Can I just say, like,
he's talking funny. I don't.
Honestly,
know
if you're gonna make an Ernest movie way better if you put Muppets in it.
Like, yeah, you Ernest might as and well. The Muppets, that would have been.
You
good.
Might as well. Come on.
How did that movie never happen? First of all, we get Jim Henson in this damn movie. We get a Muppet. That's straight up a Muppet song.
Mm-hmm.
How did that
Ernest
never happen?
Is a Muppet.
I guess.
Mm. I mean, Ernest.
Ernest is a Muppet. Ernest, yeah.
Vern might be. We don't. We never know. Ernest we don't see him. Her.
All right. So then, what happens next? He's outside at night. Tries to turn on the lantern. Turns it into a rocket.
Okay,
setting up later.
This was the only. Okay, let me try and break this down a little bit. This was the only scene that would have gotten a laugh out of me had they just left it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So when he lights the lantern, at first, okay, let's backtrack just a second.
First, he fills it with too much gas, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that so much. So he lights the match. Yeah. And then he just stares at the match until it goes out.
He's a stoner, man. I'm telling you. I don't
see. It doesn't take much to.
You must have learned that from Jim Henson, too.
Is that a running gag from all of his shows?
No idea. I don't know. No clue.
I don't remember.
But so he lights his lantern with the second match, and all of a sudden it just like flames shoot out the bottom and it flies up into the air. And my brain is thinking, if that lantern goes out of the air, doesn't come back down, and the scene ends, you laugh. That's how this works. Mm-hmm. But instead, the lantern came back down, and then Ernest like grabbed it and ran around like an idiot with it.
He burned his hand.
So I'm like, all right, you had something, and then you ruined it. I almost laughed out loud-ish, but you ruined it.
Okay, so this is how he gets to the poker game.
Yeah.
I didn't see the initial numbers, but he comes in and he's like, all right, I'm really good at poker. Let me show you a few things. And then it cuts away to he owes a kid $24,840.
He's like, I can pay you $20 every week for the next 14 30. Years. Oh, 30.
30.
Yeah.
In some months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Then here's another scene that kind of weird here. So now we cut back to the bad guys, Crater Industries. They're outside a house. And the lawyer's like, yo, we can't do this. That's their house. And then, you know, Crater comes by and he's like,
fuck them.
Yeah, he's like, do they have any legal, you know, recourse? Like, do we own it? And they're like, yeah, kick him off his house. And they do.
Yeah, straight up.
Again, we suddenly now we're going from, you know, Roger Rabbit playing poker with these kids to now this dude's breaking in a house where the guy's waiting at the front door with a gun and he starts punching them and throwing them out of their home. Like
breaking into a house he owned.
True. But it's just like this is a totally different movie.
Yeah.
Like it does not belong with Ernest
at all. This is not realistic at all. Because that house was clearly owned by a farmer. Mm-hmm. This dude had no teeth, was wearing overalls.
Yep.
He had a rifle. He would have shot this dude the minute he took another step into his house.
Protecting my home.
He would have shot it. Like, I don't even know if they would have gotten out the cars. He would just open fire with the cars pulled up.
He's like, you eyeing my lemon drink?
Best case scenario, he would have answered the knock at the door with a shotgun through the door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, this dude would have been dead.
This is going to end Waco style.
But instead, this guy walks in, punches this old man in the face in front of his family, and then they just destroy the house.
Yeah.
Like, what are we watching?
And they don't really give you... They're like, do they have any legal ground to stand on? So presumably, I guess, Crater owns the house, but you don't really know what...
Well, I guess he owns the land. He probably doesn't own the house, but he owns the land at the time.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
I imagine maybe it was something where the guy couldn't pay all his bills or something and he was able to buy it out from under him.
Maybe.
Okay.
He owns it legally, so he does have, you know, he's just being a dick about it. But
why deal with the fallout from that, though, when we could watch Ernest make some sort of automatic wiener roaster thing and just pull himself into the fire?
Yeah.
It was a pointless scene, but it was funny because he gets his feet on fire.
I guess.
But again, we're cutting away from the rather dark storyline throughout this movie for another, like, little commercial or something with Ernest being crazy and getting himself in trouble. Wah, wah.
But that's why you're watching the movie.
But I'm saying, like, you're doing two different movies. Like, pick a road and stay on it.
Look, they had to make Ernest skits last an hour and 20 minutes. So the plot is secondary to Ernest being Ernest. Mm.
At this point, I have written down that the soundtrack has officially pissed me off.
It took this long?
Yeah, it's bad. It's Three Ninjas bad. It's pretty bad.
I don't even remember the music. Like, other than Ernest singing and the one montage song, I don't remember any music in this at all.
It's super whimsy, and it's bad.
It does have some really... I mean, particularly this scene we're talking about with the Wiener Roast, I know there's, like, you know, rather whimsical nonsense in it. The rest of it is like some super 80s tunes that I was totally okay with. But
let me guess, I'm just gonna take a shot in the dark. It was like,
sure, close enough. Yeah, if you picture anything they would play when you're doing like a Rube Goldberg machine or something. Or...
At least it didn't really have the pratfall sound effects that you would normally get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
they were nice.
I mean, honestly, why not though?
Because they're awful.
Yeah, but honestly, Joe, would it
For the target audience, though, it would work.
Would it have made this that much worse?
Not really.
They really would. I don't think it would have made a dent. I don't think it would have changed anything.
Probably not.
All right.
So he gets his wiener roasted.
Yeah.
Just right there.
Bullshit. That's what you wrote.
No, that's what I wrote several times.
Well, it's all like the ink is all runny from the tears.
Is it TP time now?
You know, this is when he goes and he's just walking along and like the St. Clouds are having a picnic. God. And he's like, oh yeah, let me sit down here right on the fire ants are part of the picnic.
I guess.
It's a Native American picnic. They invite all of nature, I guess. Yeah.
It was an Ernest being Ernest moment. They had to put it in the movie.
He Rick James style just like grinds his feet in the picnic.
Fuck your picnic.
Well, yeah,
takes again, your sandwiches.
This is just a setup to give him an excuse to drag his ass to this picnic like a dog.
Hey, y'all, I'm the white man. How's that sandwich? Let me have that. Thank you. White bread with peanut butter.
I do like that Chief is just staring at him like, I don't care.
The Chief is like, I sent those fire ants.
Yeah.
Chief's like, Grandor, don't marry him. Please don't marry him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you're not really a love interest in this.
Yeah.
I was nervous for a second.
I was concerned, yeah.
Yeah, I was nervous for a second.
I don't know. She really doesn't have much to pick from.
Yeah.
Fucking Stennis. I don't know. There's not much for her.
She doesn't have to pick anything.
Yeah, she could, you know, like, go out into the town or something.
I suppose. But I'm saying, if this is one of those movies where it's like she has to have a love interest.
Yeah, choose abstinence.
Yeah.
Every time.
So now he's in the infirmary and the kids are assholes. They're like, they show up and just give him poison ivy.
Like, for real? Like, what the? Like,
yeah.
But wait.
That's basically Nursing Cloud's reaction.
The infirmary from that?
Yeah,
he's in the fire ants. Yeah, the fire ants.
Okay. Oh, right, because he has the bites all over him. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And the kids show up with a plant and a pot. And
is it even in a pot?
It's in a pot.
It's in
a pot.
That just brought him like the roots.
Yeah, no,
and
I think that's their excuse for why they can all carry it without getting, you know,
well,
poison ivy.
Are immune to it.
Yeah,
but I doubt these kids tested that out first.
It'd be cool if they did. Though.
Well, they probably just told Moose to grab it, and it turns out Moose was immune. And they're like, all right, good.
I know I was for a while. I'm not sure if I still am. It goes away after a while. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But yeah, this is, and again, this was one where the minute they walked in with a plant, I was like, that's poison ivy, isn't it?
Yep.
Sure enough.
But I guess a shot clears that up because he got another shot.
I don't know if it clears it up, but it might help fight it.
In this, she's like, time for another shot because that's poison ivy.
She just euthanized it. She's like, all right.
Grew another Ernest.
I'm done with this.
It's just air in the syringe.
It was mellow yellow.
That's a heart attack right there.
Well, he's just chemically castrating him. Like, I don't know if you're going to be my love interest or not, but I'm going to make sure we don't have kids.
She did that a long time ago.
But yeah, she harasses these kids. She's like, you're assholes. He's looking out for you. Mm. Why you got to be such dicks?
And she's right. Because as annoying as Ernest is, like, he genuinely means well.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who, like, sticks up for those
kids.
Yeah,
he's looking out for him. He's the only reason that one kid didn't drown. Yeah. Like, you know, give him a break.
So I was hoping that Ernest would adopt Mustafa.
He says potential, not skin color.
He also sees a turtle.
Yeah, he also sees a turtle.
And it bites him right on the damn nose.
Pokey is turtle.
Yeah, his pet turtle, I guess it bites him all the time. Because he always puts it in his face. Mm-hmm.
My turtle likes to bite me all the time.
And here's where the kids come in.
The kids come in and they see the turtle on his nose and they're like, come on, fellas, we can jerk the sucker off in just a second.
And at that point, everything stopped.
We were like,
there's like the record skipped.
Oh, yeah.
They mean the turtle from his nose, right? That's all we're talking about.
Whatever.
Every other option is not good.
Like, we can jerk this sucker off in no time.
They cut away and you hear,
And that machine shoots more chicken pot pie on the wall.
Now we gotta sing the turtle to sleep.
Yeah. Tonight, so tonight I dine on turtle soup.
Wow. I was actually thinking, where's Master Splinter? On the roof, coming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Spit on the computer.
Thank you, Michael Bay, for using the same joke that we get here of singing So Happy Together.
Wait, what?
Sung by the Turtles.
Michael Bay?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The Michael Bay Ninja Turtle movie. At one point, Michelangelo is singing So Happy Together because it is sung by the Turtles. But Ching.
Okay.
I think, like, no one knows that except for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Michael Bay doesn't know that either. Are you sure you didn't pick it just because, you know, it's a song about being together?
No, I'm sure someone thought they were being clever.
Yeah, when you came up with that argument against it. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Okay, so...
In both cases, are you surprised that someone would have that bad of a pun? Mm-hmm.
No.
Especially one that most people probably wouldn't
get. The only thing I'm surprised at is we're... glossing over the fact that these children were talking about jerking this turtle off, and then they're singing a folk song to celebrate successfully jerking this turtle off.
Well, because they're doing it together.
Yeah, well, they all have salmonella now. So, you know.
So anyway, where does this leave us?
So now they see the two Aryan douchebags are making a canoe.
Right.
Or a kayak. So they're like, well, fuck them. We're going to make a teepee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a contest of who can make the best something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The most offensive stereotype.
Pretty much. Like,
yeah, and then don't get knives, axes, and arrows thrown at them. Yeah. Sounds great.
But, like, in the next scene, it shows the kids, like, finishing building a teepee.
Yep.
And the head campmaster or whatever is like, it's like, wow, these kids really put, like, effort into this. They did such a great job. Like, it's good to see them applying themselves. Like, this is actually pretty great. And, like, the two uppity kids are like, fuck them. Fast forward, it's on fire. It's burning in the middle of a lawn.
Yep.
On fire.
They grab their pillowcases and
God damn it.
Some gasoline.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah. Fucking shit.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, it's going to be a miracle if I can get through this whole episode without spouting a racial epitaph.
Please don't.
Intention. I know.
Don't be part of the problem, Rob.
It's not.
I've had quite the week. Please don't.
I mean, you know I never would intentionally do that. It's just,
intentionally.
I mean, I'm going to stop talking now.
No, but to be fair.
I'm going
to
eat my Dorito.
Someone draw that.
Honestly, like, I mentioned this while watching this, and I'm not sure if this would make it better or worse, like, probably as some worse. Kind of satire. Probably. But would it be better satire if they just, when they cut to it, all that was left of this burning teepee was
worse.
Across?
That'd be worse. Okay. That would be quite worse.
But the point, like, it's just awful.
It's just terrible.
So
they go to their bunk, whatever, their cabin, and they pick a fight, and they just get into a brawl we don't see.
Because they find a canteen at the scene of the crime, the hate crime.
And I think it's implied it was filled with gasoline? Is that the implication, I think?
I don't know. It doesn't...
Because when he finds them again, he sniffs it like it's something... So no. I thought maybe, but yeah,
I mean, it could be piss. It could be.
Yeah. They get into a fight.
Special sauce.
So they get into a fight, and then we just cut to the counselor saying,
"Yeah, we don't even get to see the fight."
No.
And of course, it's the second chance kids that got to go.
Yeah, right.
We
knew they were trouble when they showed up. Like, send them back.
Never mind.
Because honestly,
their motherfucking TV got burned.
Second chance kids was a change at the last minute. Mm. In the script, I believe it was second class kids.
Yeah.
So that's as close as I'll get.
You're getting close.
Yeah, that's as close as I'll get. I'm going to drink my...
You're on notice, counselor.
I'm going to drink my tea. That's a bad idea. I'll have this, though.
But he's like, they got to go. We thought we could help them out, but they obviously can't be helped. Oh. And Ernest is like, he feels really, really bad. He's like, it's my fault. I'm a bad counselor. It's my first chance watching kids, and I let this happen. It's my fault. Punish me, not them. And he talks the guy into giving him another chance, whatever.
Make them third chance kids.
Yeah. Well, it was like third plus the three from before plus that carry the one.
Yeah, minus plus
two,
one for like, me and yeah, it was me for you and two for T and something else. I don't know. But and that's the end of movie number one, basically. Like, that we just needed that last scene where they, you know, built the teepee again or whatever, and we would have been set. But now we're going to start into movie number two, which is actually involving this minor guy who he goes to the chief, and he's like, hey, I know you've talked to my lawyer, but I want to talk to you because I'm going to offer you really good stuff. I'm the dude. I'm the creator. I'm the creator. Sorry. I'm going to offer you 10% instead of 5%, and I'm going to make you a rich man and whatever. And this guy just keeps walking away from him. And he finally realizes, like, oh, you don't speak any English.
Yeah.
You have no idea what I'm saying.
Not a word.
So he walks out because Ernest pops his head in. Yeah. And he can see that they can communicate. So he grabs Ernest and then, like, turns back around and is like, hi, I'm not Crater at all. I'm other dude, which just fools this guy because fucking why not?
He's like, sign this petition that just has one line for a name.
Yeah. And a whole lot of small text you might want to pay attention to. But Ernest, like, convinced him, like, oh, yeah, it's petition to save the camp. You should really sign this. So then we just cut to the next day where this head counselor is telling everybody, we need to get out. Now.
So, Ernest can't read, right?
Probably not.
That's pretty much what we're going with.
It's dubious reading.
Yeah, if he is able to, he is certainly not applying it.
I mean, he said he went to NAM. Do you think he signed up for that the same way that he thought it was a petition?
It's possible,
like,
but...
Like, in the army now? That's how it went.
I want to see Ernest goes to NAM. It's like, Platoon 2, Ernest goes to NAM.
Well, 1998's Ernest in the Army might be the answer to that.
I just want that slow motion scene where they're shooting William Dafoe like 50 times. Just have that for Ernest.
I'm just picturing, hey, Vern, you lost your legs. That's all right. I'll carry you.
This is Vern lying on the beach holding his guts, calling for his mama.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway.
The fat guy's walking around looking for his arm. Anyway. Oh,
so at this point, you know, you cut to the second chancers in the cabin. One of the kids declares this situation to be such a major boner.
Yeah, that happened.
And so Ernest is like, well, we'll just go we'll give him what for. Let's go kick his ass.
Oh, first, we've skipped over the sad scene.
The sad scene's coming up.
No, say, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, it's I'm sorry. You're right. I'm thinking you're talking about the full-on attack. But no, yeah, first he's going to beat up the miners because he's a badass.
Again, not a good legal option there.
No.
None of it is.
You don't really have much of a legal recourse at this point.
Yeah.
Your best hope is to go to them and say, listen, he can't speak English. I can't read or write. There was nobody there to verify that this was all legit.
Well, you can say that to a judge, and a judge can be like, all right, well, stop doing anything while we look at this.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what you want to do. That's, you know, somehow get somebody involved that's going to help with this. But instead, he tries to pick a fight.
With Lyle Alzado.
Who just breaks his nose and throws him on the ground.
Just fucks him up.
Yep. And just has a good time about it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually breaking his nose, you said?
Yeah, I actually broke his nose.
And then the kids lose faith in him, even though he got his ass whooped by like a guy that's got 100 pounds on him.
Like, he picked him up one-handed by his throat into the air. Like, kids, come on now, kids. Like, what the fuck? Like,
well, they never had faith in it, really.
Yeah. Well, except for that one blind kid that could tell he's still Pan.
No, Mustafa.
Yeah, except Moose still believes in him. Yeah. But Ernest has to go walk in the rain and sing a sad song.
Like, this was a touching moment for me, because when he's in the infirmary with the nurse, and she's patching up his face, he's trying to talk. He's like, this camp was everything to me. Like, the kids mean everything to me. Like, and I failed. I messed
up. If I were a 7-year old, I'd be crying right now.
Yeah, like it was. He starts crying, like it's fake tears, but like he starts crying. I'm like, oh, like it was a touching ass moment.
I'm not then crying. The song starts. I'm not crying. It's just the rain. Sorry.
Like, and yeah. We're all watching it. We're like, is there other puppets involved? Is there gonna be a frog singing this in the middle?
Seriously,
like,
I was waiting for Kermit's nephew Robin. Come out.
He did kind of sound like him.
Yeah.
But it also didn't help that it reminded me of the in Follow That Bird when you had that one super set. No one's going to remember. All right, no. Fine. But there's suddenly, out of nowhere, there's a super sad song where they I forgot why, but they paint Big Bird blue and he's singing a song about the blue bird.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's super sad. And it, when you're young. Yeah.
Just so everybody at home is up on things. I watched Aliens yesterday. Tony apparently watched Follow That Bird.
No.
Let's put it on the list, Tony. Put it on the list.
I'll put it on the list.
Put it on the list, yeah. Tony. Yeah, okay.
Put the Muppets movies on the list.
Put them on a shelf. All right.
You know what, guys?
But it also reminded me of Flight of the Conchords. I'm not crying. So it's like such a weird mix in my brain right now. What?
Matter of fact,
you putting it on the list, Rob?
By the time this comes out,
no.
we will have picked our winner already.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah, by the time this airs, it'll be the 1st of September, yeah, I believe. So, yeah. You're too late, everybody. You're too damn late.
Thank you, insert winner here, for your choice of insert name here.
Well, thank you for all of you who entered. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And now you can stop hearing us belittle you and berate you.
No, that's just writing you. In.
No, that's just him.
Listen, I do it out of love. I love and appreciate all of our listeners. And by berating and belittling them, they feel like they're a part of the group. Write in if you feel that way.
Just write in, period. Like...
Anyway,
if you want to write in physically, like a physical letter, do that. We'll make up an address. Just put a dollar in the envelope, and that'll be fine.
Can we continue?
I guess. If you really want to talk about this movie, Joe, go ahead.
I really want it to end.
Are you going to make up an address?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
So now we get to a different movie, because now Ernest, he gets his resolve back. He wants to fight.
Oh, yeah.
He gets the kids on board. Now it's Ernest Goes to Fury Road.
Ernest endangers minors.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we get a montage which immediately starts with them sneaking onto the miners' camp and stealing a bunch of explosives and stuff.
Ha! Brian, your joke could be to take it two ways. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Okay, let it go.
Yeah, this chief's just like...
three ways, if you think about it.
This chief's just on board with what is essentially, you know, a murder bus.
No, in all fairness.
Yeah.
Montage music is playing.
Yeah.
And they're making 18 type shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you were doing before. You're
well, plus, the white man just stole his land.
Yeah. Also, to be fair, you could argue the language barrier a bit, but I think it's mostly Rob might be right and he's just senile as shit.
He understands. He's not stupid. Come on.
I don't know. He might think he's in a war from, you know...
He might think
as far as he's concerned, he's in a war. His land just got stolen.
He might think it's like the 1400s or some shit, and he's got to fight
friggin'
that.
I don't know. This old cracker that looks like, you know, friggin' what's his name's dad. What the hell's his name? I was comparing him the entire time.
I know the guy, Robert Loggia.
No, I wasn't even going with Robert Loggia. He's like an older version of friggin' Qui-Gon Jinn.
This guy, Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson. Yeah.
But like, this guy's discount Robert Loggia.
He is a discount Robert Loggia. But he's like Liam Neeson's dad.
Yeah.
So a little bit of Red Foreman in there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that. I didn't think of that. All right, so.
Dude from anyway. RoboCop.
Hello.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. I thought. Never mind. All right.
Yeah, Clarence Boddicker, not Red Foreman. Come on.
All right. So the nurse is like, they're going to kill all of you.
You can't do this. These are children.
Yeah.
We have no legal right to do this. You will be shot. Mm-hmm. It will be legal. And then you'll be dead.
Chief's like, too late. War paint's out.
They're not going to get this camp.
And Ernest is just in this trance where he's just like, they're not going to get this camp. They're not going to get this camp. Like, they're not going to get this camp.
Come on, Cloud Princess. I mean, these kids got nothing ahead of them except working at McDonald's or Walmart. They're fine.
Now at this point, the two Aryan kids show up and they're like, we want to help too.
Yeah.
We're not assholes anymore.
We Which, I like that. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I don't know where now, everyone else is, but...
They're still assholes. They want to do mischief with everyone else.
That's true. Well, I am glad that...
I took it a little more. They want to protect the camp, which I can get behind.
I did like the fact that the one dude was kind of against this crazy plot to steal the land. The one, like, I don't know exactly what his...
The lawyer. It was the lawyer. Because he knew, he's like, this isn't legal. Like, I'm totally cool with, you know, doing whatever to get him to buy it. Yeah, but
he said he wasn't going to buy it. Let's just leave it alone. Yeah. Yeah, I do like that he wasn't necessarily a villain in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when they broke into that one house, he's just like, can we give them to, like, the morning or something? Like,
yeah.
Let them leave on their own terms.
I mean, in a movie full of stereotypes, it was nice to have one that wasn't necessarily stereotypes.
So they make this murder death bus.
It's a death cheese bus.
It's a death cheese bus. And the speds are in full effect.
Yes. A catapult on it. It has a six-shot crossbow on it. It has a ball launcher from the tennis ball launcher. Yep.
They have... a separate freestanding lantern launcher, because lanterns are just rockets now.
Also, I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but I mean, the obvious, it's got two halves of a canoe on the front for some reason, but then it has like
a battering ram.
Sure. But then it had a buzzsaw attached to the front.
Yeah.
It was like, it looked like they're just trying to get someone to put their arm there and just.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, like, this vehicle was not made to make friends.
No. This vehicle is made to get us all arrested.
Yeah, it's straight up battle wagon.
Somebody's gonna die tonight.
All right, so they fire up the cheesy sound effects. Like shit on fire with flaming arrows.
Like, all right, I just want to point out that these kids, I didn't realize this as a kid, but like, they're just trying to cause mischief on this campground of construction workers. Mm. I didn't realize they were using deadly-ass weapons
to
do this, because they shot actual arrows on fire into a crowd of people.
Yeah, it started... it
lit their stuff on fire.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it started with this massive crossbow bolt thing that fires off four arrows, and I was like, that's dangerous. And then they lit it on fire, and I'm like, are you out of your mind? Yeah.
It was like an Age of Empires ICBM.
Yeah, real. Like, they could have really killed someone.
They start their first attack with these fire arrows. One of them lands on the tent where everyone's eating and sets that on fire. And the other one lands in the shed of explosives that just blows up.
Presumably kills Jim Henson, who's in there somewhere, apparently.
And now, like, okay, so now what else do? They put all the smoke bombs in a... Yeah, they launch that crate.
Yeah, a crate of smoke bombs. They launch some toilets.
Yep, explosive toilet.
Also, we keep cutting away to movie number two, where the Swedish chef and his pal are just launching goop at them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, again, what is... This group is trying to kill somebody. You're painting them like this is Splatoon. This is not going to work.
It's make you not realize the deadliness of
the exactly, yeah.
Cover them with tomato sauce so they don't notice the blood.
Right, exactly.
And in true, like... You know, kid power movie goon fashion. They just, like, the crater guys just stand there and take it.
Hmm. There's even one group of guys that is constantly just watching stuff flying over.
Yeah, that is true.
What part of this is spaghetti? What part of this is intestines? Nobody knows.
Now we get the turtles.
Yeah, get a rowboat full of turtles.
I'm scared, Sarge.
We're all scared.
they strap parachutes on these turtles. Which apparently can talk.
It's the cutest, dumbest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just parachute their way down and start biting everybody.
In fairness, that would be a that would be a nightmare. Just parachute snapping turtles down
here. That's a lot of turtles to jerk off.
Yeah.
I do wish one of the guys that had said, "Someone help me jerk this off."
Mm. All right.
I need some extra hands. To jerk off all these turtles.
Just sit on yours for a moment.
Oh, so Sherman finds out that there's trouble going on here, and he's like, all right, I got a solution, and just gets his rifle.
Dude.
His lawyer's like, what are you doing?
This is not cool. Well, I was saying this, and I'm surprised he didn't, but it was just like, call the police. Just call the police. They have no legal right. Just call the police.
Yeah. It's not like that hooker. We have to actually do this.
The police are already within their legal rights to remove them from the land, and now they're going to arrest them for assault. So we're good. Just don't do anything.
He's like, can I spin this to self-defense?
But we also get the introduction of the front loader.
Yep. Versus the food ranger.
Yeah.
Loader wins. Flawless victory.
Yeah, it does.
Thank goodness.
No fatality, unfortunately.
Well, doesn't it crush it?
Well, yeah, it's the fatality of the food machine. I think he's hoping one of the guys would die.
Yeah. And then he just goes on a rampage through the camp with that. So
takes down a couple buildings.
Now let's take it up a notch. Ernest is like, get anything that will burn. And the kids just pull out gas tanks and Molotov cocktails.
Yeah!
Like, was that your plan if the battle bus failed?
Also, where were those?
Yeah.
What drunkard is working on this campsite with all these bottles and shit?
Don't. Eat a Dorito. Eat a Dorito.
So,
I don't... Brian knows me so well. It's terrible. Yeah.
So now that golf cart that's been running around the
whole
movie pulls up.
Brian, thank you for being
a
genuine friend.
They load it with all sorts of flammable materials, including the eggs, Erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernest sets off on a suicide run right at the front loader.
Sort of.
But Ernest, you might get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to be sitting on it for half a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it just blows up. And it burns.
Blows up a clearly empty front loader.
Yeah. And the guy just kind of gets out and he's got soot on his face. Because, again, this is a cartoon.
Nerdish can now punch him out.
He gets the moment now. He saunters up to the dude, puts his face like right in prime smacking position, and smacks the shit out of him, yo.
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, Ernest!
So he's feeling all cool and brave when Crater shows up with his rifle. Mm. And he's just like, I'm taking this dude out. And
you start to hear in the background the ritual they were doing, like, you know, if you have true courage, the knife will not cut you, and the guy finds the first shot and misses.
I believe I can fly.
And everyone's like, he missed?
Yeah.
First of all, how does he miss? I know, mysticism, whatever, but, like, also, Ernest is clearly not being brave or bold or anything. Like, why didn't he get hit?
So he's like...
Like, he should have...
Yeah, if your heart is true and genuine, the stone will miss you, and he misses him again. Mm. He's like, oh, shit. He's like, oh, I got this now. He gets all cocky and stuff. He does. He starts laughing, and he says, like, what is it? The arrow won't hit you.
Yeah.
Guy misses a third time. Each time he walks closer and closer. So finally goes shoot again. Ernest is so close, like, puts his finger in the barrel, which, like, pull the trigger.
Gonna take off your hand and part of your face.
Yeah,
so.
But whatever. Instead, the guy drops his gun and runs away. Like,
all right, now, how cool would it have been now if Ernest grabbed the barrel of the gun, yanked it out of his hand, and was just like, here you go, and handed him a badger?
That would have been real cool.
That would have been cool. Yeah, the guy could like
utterly
freak out with like a puppet badger that he's befriended because the badger chased him around all movie.
You
earned the badger's respect.
I would have accepted it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, the police show up, presumably to kick them off this land.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the nurse, St. Cloud, shows up, and she's like, I got a restraining order for something. Mm.
Somehow.
It was actually to keep Ernest off the land, but whatever.
Like, yeah.
I'll just change the name. It's fine. Yeah.
It's against us. We have to leave. Please go
away. I like how Sherman was just like, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Just drove off.
Just dropped his gun and ran.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at that point, he's like, I legit tried to kill a man.
Yeah.
In front of everyone.
Yeah. In cold blood.
Listen to Daddy. All
right. So some judge, you know, realizes that just, you know, confused an old man gave him false information.
The lawyer admits that he tricked him into signing it.
Judge Apatow?
Judge Apatow.
Judge Apatow, yeah. And so all is okay.
There would be more angst in the movie if it was Judd Apatow movie.
Well, now I'm thinking of a movie that's made, but like they set up their own thing. It's Mike Judge and Judd Apatow made their own like movie house.
Okay.
Is their father played by Judd Hirsch?
Sure. And Judd Nelson. And Judd Reinhold. Sorry, Joe. What were you saying?
I'm done. So is this movie.
Yeah, we're at the end now. Everything's
they get the camp back. Everything's cool. Ernest is still an ass.
He falls off a ladder and gets crushed by a sign and left there for dead. hopefully.
Yep.
Credits.
Whackity schmackity doo. And that's it.
Yeah, credits, but what happens during the credits?
Oh, the chef.
I turned it off.
That's fair.
They have a little credit scene with the chef and his sidekick. He made some new concoction for him to taste, and he tastes it, and like he forcibly makes him taste it.
Makes his sidekick taste it.
Yeah, like you just see like he like forces him down to his knees in front of him. You can't see him, but you see his head, his arms go like down in front of him.
Yeah, it's awkward. Like, no, it is awkward.
Tell me it tastes like strawberry.
And then he forces something in his mouth. You hear him go, oh, and then you hear like cracking and shit. And he stands up wearing a tuxedo, singing "Quando My Condo," and then he twirls away.
Yeah, the fat guy just looks amazed by it and starts scarfing this down. And I'm waiting for him to turn into Pavarotti or something. And that's it. That's all you get.
Instead, he just turned into poverty.
That was one of those scenes like in Constantine where he just shoved all of that in his mouth real fast and choked to death.
That would be sweet.
Thinking something awesome was happening.
But that's the end of Ernest Goes to Camp from 1987. All right, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 62%. I know. Audience gave this a score of 50%. What, it seems like you got some outrage there. Rob, would you like to...
I have no outrage. You pick whoever you want to go first.
I'm picking you.
Okay. No, I don't recommend this movie. It's not really a movie. I'm not sure exactly how to describe it. I can't even describe it as, like, a TV show either. It's just like a series of jokes that are poorly timed, poorly acted out. And I don't like, I get the appeal behind Ernest. Like, Jim Varney just seems like a really nice guy, and I feel bad like crapping on him right now. But it was so dumb. It was so hard. It was hard to watch. There were several times where I wanted to check the runtime left. And that was, like, within the first 15 minutes of the movie.
There were several times I did check the runtime.
Yeah, it's just not... It's not cohesive. It doesn't make any sense. There's no point to it. There's no real acting. The music is terrible. The one montage song they have is, like... It's an 80s song, but it's bad. The crying song... The raining song, I guess, is weirdly... Muppety. I don't understand who this is for. Like, it's for kids. It's for little kids. It's not for us. So I can't recommend it based on that criteria.
Yeah. Brian.
Fuck you. I love this movie. I love this movie with all my heart. No, I don't. It's not good. It is terrible. I don't know. I mean, I know what I was thinking as a kid, but like, this movie's terrible. Look, it's like, it's just, I cannot in good conscience recommend this movie. I do actually recommend you find that last battle scene on YouTube and be amazed at how they didn't actually kill anyone while filming it because it looks deadly as fuck. Like they were for real trying to murder people. If any kids tried that at home, they'd probably kill somebody.
Oh. But, kids trying that at home would kill themselves trying to make that bus.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I can't recommend it.
Ciao.
So yeah, this movie is, it's in that category of things that were cool at a time, but are not now. Like, you know, it's all those things, like the Thundercats, like, you watch it now, it's not good. I believe there was a time and a place where this was considered good comedy. That time was 30 years ago. It's not now. I would not recommend watching this movie. If you saw this movie 30 years ago and had fond memories, keep your memories the way they are. Don't go back and revisit it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to disagree with you slightly there. I don't think it's a matter of its comedy is good in the time that it was. I think it's the age you were when you saw it. I think it's
that's
specifically,
what I mean.
Yeah, like... If you're 7 years old, this will be a good
yeah,
time.
I think I said that wrong, but yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, basically. Then in that case, I'm totally with you there. That's like, you have to be a certain age range to appreciate what's going on here. Otherwise, it's just...
It's quick, and there's lights, and there's colors. That's about what I'm talking
about. I guess
it
didn't even feel that quick, honestly.
I know, I mean, like, the jokes
also,
it came quickly.
If you're a mommy or a daddy... I don't recommend trying to use this to distract your kid. There's so much better stuff out there. This one will hurt.
Yeah. And you'd have to watch this with your children, which is just, I can't even imagine.
If you do that, do not let them know that this is a whole franchise. And do not call us in for franchise month.
It's too late.
When too
this
airs, late.
When this airs, we will already have picked our winner.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, while I agree with most of you, I am disagreeing a little bit with Joe, where I think the big difference, you used Thundercats as an example, I think the difference there is Thundercats has elements that are still good and you can do something with, they just need to kind of go along with the generation.
Are you sure?
Somebody's got his nostalgia glasses on, I think.
No. If you watch those episodes, they're garbage, but there's a storyline there that could be made today and be decent. This is it's just, at its core, the story is just the basic, we need to save the camp with, you know, from X by doing X and whatever, who could give a crap. And in between, there's like 12 other movies and just a whole lot of like little vignettes of Jim Varney doing Jim Varney
stuff.
They
made this movie again, and it was decent. It was called Dangerous Minds, and it was very popular at the time it came out.
Yeah. Anyway, there's just not much here. Like, clearly, even, I think it was obvious since this is the first real big budget Ernest movie. It's barely even like an Ernest vehicle because he's just kind of in it. Like, it's largely around him, but like, he's not really relevant to most of the plot stuff. Like the whole mining thing, and it's just whatever. I don't think they really knew how to integrate the commercials and like weird stuff he does into a movie yet, and it just, it shows, and it's awkward and unpleasant. So yeah, not recommending this. Anything we would recommend instead? Dangerous Minds?
Sure. Yeah.
If you wanted a movie about kids from the other side of the tracks doing something and completing a goal, I'd say watch Bad News Bears.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
If you wanted a movie about people trying to save something they love, I'd watch any of those Ski Mountain movies.
Well, yeah, but we only need one recommendation, yeah. So Bad News Bears, yeah. We'll go with that. All right. Enough of Ernest. What do we have up next, Brian?
So we get to roll that magic D20 of fate to see who goes, what we watch next week. And I believe it's Joe's turn.
It's Joe's turn.
Joe believes it's Joe's turn as well.
Make it do,
He's
Joe.
He's believing really hard.
Make it do.
Come on, Joe. Make some magic
happen. I'm going to let you know right now, no matter what you get, it's going to be bad.
Have you already looked at the list?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, good.
And it needs to be a 20. It's not. It's a 4.
It's a 4.
Well, Joe, good news. 4 is 1996's Mars Attacks.
How's that good news?
This was news. I thought if I said it like that, you'd like enjoy it more.
I'm going to asphyxiate and die trying to do fast cast on that one. Because everyone from the 90s is in that movie.
Now, the good news is, Tony and I used to collect those cards, and they were pretty, fun.
The movie's
not terrible. Not so much. I mean, I've only seen it once, and it was years and years ago. Yeah.
Right. Can we just put out like, an hour long episode of us going?
I'm pretty sure that's what people hear most of the time, anyway. So yeah, sure,
the occasional fart and Brian laugh, and then that's basically it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all you need.
Yeah.
All right. So what else we got going on here, Rob?
Well, guys, that was Ernest Goes to Camp, and next week, join us for Mars Attacks. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at 4AM Podcast. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us with any stories, suggestions, questions, whatever you got at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. Remember, that is the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, follow us on Instagram at 4ampodcast. And since it is kind of too late to enter our franchise month, if you have any questions you'd like to have us answer via voicemail. You can still, of course, call us at our Google voicemail at 203-787-8946. That's 203-787-8946.
All right, so till next time, we'll see you then with Mars Attacks. Till then,
deuces.
Later, everybody.
Adios.
Good night, everyone.
So while I was looking up Ernest Goes to Camp, I did happen to come across some Ernest fan fiction.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Are you still recording? Oh,
yes, I am. Okay. As a matter of fact, recording. Oh, so I'd like to read this to you very quickly. It's called Ernest Goes to Johto. Chapter 1, Introduction. Tony's dying.
You okay, Tony?
No.
This is by Taylor Lee. Just so we can't
Taylor claim Lautner? Any.
No, it's not Taylor Lautner. So just, we can't. I mean, this was uploaded in 2006. So what do you know? Okay. In case you weren't aware, Johto is the land that Pokemon takes place in. So someone wrote a Ernest Pokemon crossover.
I did not know that.
So I'm going to read.
Okay. That explains why Tony is crying right
a
now.
Little bit for you, yes.
Okay. Why would you do this?
Chapter 1, Introduction. Out in the vast region of Johto, our heroes find themselves dining at the Salty Shrimp Seafood Restaurant. After discovering that Ash was, in fact, the one, he decided to celebrate last meal. Well, this is. Okay, so this takes.
Sorry.
This takes place between after Pokemon the movie 2000, in which Ash discovers that he is the chosen one. I don't know what that means. I haven't followed Pokemon that well.
Yeah, sure.
He decided to celebrate with one last meal before they set off on their trip to change the world. Well, I guess this is kind of a surprise, huh? Ash said. I can't believe it either. A twerp like you, the chosen one, Misty replied. Hey, I'm not a twerp, Ash retorted angrily.
R2,
am not.
R2,
am not.
Yeah, you are, Ash.
Well, at least I'm not a scrawny redhead with a temper problem.
You dare call me the fourth sensational sister scrawny?
Well, you are, am not.
I can't get this voice straight. This is so stupid.
I'm picturing like a little like Punch Duty. Judy play where they're hitting each other
Brock
with sticks.
Brock stared incredulously at the two. Even with the world at stake, they fought over the most trivial things. Stranger still, they managed to find time to eat in this rundown-looking diner. He went to go fill his soda and heard what he knew was coming, a loud thwack. Turning around, he saw Misty triumphantly standing tall, brandishing her trusty mallet, while Ash sat on the ground holding the top of his head.
Is she Harley Quinn?
Yes. Will you guys give it a rest? No matter what happens, you two will always manage to find time to squabble over such petty things, Brock exclaimed.
If Ash here didn't start these sort of...
Me? You started this one.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
You know what, Misty?
Ash shot at her, caressing the top of his head.
I think I'll need to go use the first aid kit because of you and your mallet.
I just want to stop before I say it. Someone listen to this, please. Take two little action figures and act out the scene and put Rob's voice to it.
Or animate
it. Send it in.
Unless you're good at Flash.
Yeah, or, you know, Flash, please. Someone please do this. Continue.
Ash stared at her, not believing what he just heard. Misty noticed Ash staring at her, and her face turned a dark shade of red.
What?
She shouted at him.
I never thought you actually cared about...
About what? You?
Misty snapped.
It's just that,
Misty stuttered.
I can't let on that I actually care about him.
Wait.
What do I say to him?
This isn't going to be Slash Fic, is it?
No, this was rated for, like, kindergarten up.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
I feel better now.
Otherwise, it would, like,
real nervous.
My name is Ernest. I'm going to clean up all y'all jizz.
Well, that's what I was really worried about, was how is Ernest going to fit into this?
Yeah.
It's just that if you showed up on camera with a huge bump on your head, I'd look irresponsible. Do you know what that would look that would do to the reputation of the Cerulean City Gym if I let on that I couldn't take care of my own partner? Woo, that was close.
Misty thought to herself, relieved.
Yeah, right,
Ash said, sarcastically rolling his eyes. Ash got up and walked to the front desk, his Pikachu closely following.
Pika Pikachu,
the critter exclaimed.
Pikachu, I think I can tend my own wounds. You stay here and keep an eye on Brock and Misty for me, okay?
Pika!
Pikachu nodded and scurried back to the table, where it can continue eating its precious ketchup packets.
Oh, man.
Excuse me, do you have a first aid kit around here?
Ash asked the manager. Uh-huh, we got us one of them around the... Wait, what? Uh-huh, we got us one of... Wait, I can't... This is so stupid. We got us one of them around back out in the restroom. The manager pointed out the window where Ash could see the sign, first aid station and restrooms in front of a building.
Okay, thanks.
Ash was walking towards the back door when the manager said to him, hey, Sonny. Ash turned around and stared inquisitively at him. It's not really any of my concern, but I think my advice would be pretty useful here. If you want to keep your relationship with your girlfriend intact, Ash's face soon felt pretty hot, and he could tell he was blushing profusely.
She is not my girlfriend,
he declared to the manager. I hope there's Ernest actually in here somewhere.
Well, you haven't pre-read it? Uh-oh.
I did, but it was a while ago, and I hadn't had, like, 3 margaritas.
You forgot it was 12 pages in before Ernest shows up?
No, it's only 4 pages long. The manager looked quizzically at him. Oh, if you have to put up with that every day and still stick together, I figured you must be in some kind of relationship.
Sorry to disappoint you, but we're both just friends, Ash cried defensively.
Just friends.
Just friends.
He walked out the back door towards the other building and the manager said, young love, he's in denial, all right. The manager looked towards Misty, who was staring intently out the window at the building Ash had just entered. Yup, he thought, there's definitely something there. Cut to Ash and Misty having just the roughest sex you've ever seen.
Wait, really?
No.
He added that. Yeah.
Come on, people. We need to move this stuff before our opening tomorrow.
A large, balding man wearing a rather gaudy pinstripe suit gave this command.
Pokemon merchandise sells like hotcakes around here, and we can bet the moon that we'll sell out very quickly if we don't have all the merchandise unpacked.
A young man in red coat with a label Albert's Toys and Games right sauntered up to him and stated, dude, it's quitting time. I've been working for 16 hours straight. Find someone else to unpack all this stuff for you. The young man walked out of the store, mumbling under his breath. Albert, the aforementioned balding man, thought to himself, where the heck can I find someone to work for me this late? Who would be stupid enough? At this thought, he smiled a very wide, peculiar grin and shouted, Ernest! Out of the bathroom, a man wearing a gray t-shirt with a sleeveless denim jean jacket, coupled a brown hat, strutted out toward the source of the call.
No pants.
Ernest! No pants. No pants, dick out. Ernest, Albert said with a forced sound of relief in his voice, I'm glad you're here. I need you to...
Yep, I knew this was coming, Ernest said with a confident tone. When the chips are down and you got no one to work for you, you call on me, Ernest P. Worrell, janitor-in-chief, to help you with your last-minute work.
I hope you jerk that off real quick.
Albert gaped at Ernest and shifted his feet guiltily.
Yeah, actually, that's what I want.
Well then, sir, Ernest said, you have picked the right man for the job.
Albert grinned at him, the same devilish smile he had done earlier, and spoke.
Ernest, I just don't know what we'd do without you here.
Ernest missed the sarcasm in his voice.
Look, I need to unpack all this Pokemon merchandise and polish the floors with a nifty sweeper you got in the custodial storage.
No problemo, comprendo. I'll have those Pokemon organized to the standard of most fussy of mothers with an obsessive compulsive disorder. The floors will be polished in such a mirror sheen that when finished, the results could be blinding to the point of being potentially dangerous and cause many blah blah blah. Ernest rambled on. Albert muttered very quietly,
this hurts.
Such a great way of thinking, Ernest. And of course, you won't mind if I neglected to pay you overtime, would you?
Okay, the end. They all had sex.
Thank you, Taylor Lee, for...
Thanks, guys. There's 4 more pages, but I figure you guys probably don't want to hear all that.
Oh, man.
You know what? If you want to hear more, write in the 4am podcast at gmail.com.
I was so concerned if all the merchandise was going to get unpacked.
I can read more.
No.
I keep going.
Nope.
Please write in to the mailbag. Let us know at the 4am inbox whether Rob should continue this. And that if you say, if enough people say yes, at the end of each episode, he'll read another page.
Yes. I totally will.
Feel free to write in your own fanfic.
Yes. Can we, you know what? Can you guys email us some 4am podcast fanfic? Not slash fic.
Yeah.
No. It,
you know what?
The four of us are going to be boning now.
It's you know just, what? If you write slash fic, I'll read it. I'll read it on the air. I don't care. I'll read it. I'll do all the voices.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That'd be interesting.
Terribly.
Yeah.
No, I'll make all these guys do their own voices. We'll do it. We love you.
I have a better idea.
I didn't agree to this.
If you want to write some fanfic. Joe did agree to this.
Did not.
If you want to write some fanfic, how about expand upon some of the movie ideas we've come up with throughout our podcast?
Sure. You know what, though? Rich is still on vacation. So that's really it. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.